And 3, 2, 1, hello, Borgen Project volunteers. This year, billions of people voted across 70 countries for national leaders, and the United States joined the wave where incumbent candidates were rejected. With the re-election of President Trump to non-consecutive terms for the first time since President Grover Cleveland won in 1884 and 1892, the global development community is faced with both old anxieties and new opportunities. During President Trump's first term, his Office of Management and Budget Director proposed a 32% cut to the United States International Affairs budget. However, a bipartisan majority in Congress rejected that as dangerous for American interests. But it's very unlikely that the new 119th Congress is going to respond in the same way. Now, President Trump's first term did include significant policy achievements, creating the U.S. International Development Finance Corporation to encourage private sector investments in less developed countries, the Women's Global Development and Prosperity Act to empower women, and the Abraham Accords, which normalized relations between Israel and a series of Arab nations. President-elect Trump did nominate Senator Marco Rubio to become Secretary of State. Senator Rubio is known for backing global engagement as long as it serves U.S. interests. Turning to the Congress, Republicans flip control of the Senate, taking 53 seats, and maintain a razor-thin control of the House. Congressional Republicans have declared their intent to address out-of-control government spending, so we can expect cuts to non-defense-related spending long in anathema to conservatives, and that includes climate change, reproductive rights, LGBTQ plus policies, and anything that smacks of pushing a progressive agenda to other countries. However, faith-based groups are going to benefit under the Republican USAID and State Department, as could agencies that partner with the private sector. The 118th Congress is now in lame duck sessions, and it has a pressing list to do. The Senate Appropriations proposed a 6%, $3.4 billion increase to the 2025 International Affairs budget, but the House approved a steep 12%, $7.3 billion cut. That's got to be reconciled. Action on a number of important foreign affairs authorizations is also uncertain, mainly PEPFAR, the program that combats HIV/AIDS. Moving overseas, the UN Climate Change Conference in Baku, Azerbaijan, just concluded. Negotiators from 200 countries agreed to a non-binding commitment that wealthy nations would provide at least $300 billion annually by 2035 to help poorer nations impacted by climate change. However, delegates from these developing countries were not happy by either the total amount or the lack of guarantees. In South Korea, delegates from more than 170 countries failed to agree on how to curb plastic pollution. A broad coalition of nations pushed for manufacturing cuts, but the oil-rich countries balked at the idea of limiting future plastic productions. In this year's G20 conference, which was held in Brazil, it focused on tackling one of humanity's oldest challenges, hunger. The challenge, of course, is going to be turning promises into real action. This is all to be continued, and I look forward to speaking with you next month.